The Wednesday edition of Don't Abrast That. So a fire fury has been started on credit cards. Dennis J takes over the tablet and he will respond accordingly. Let's go to the lines and then come back to these WhatsApp. Some interesting messages here. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon. What's happening here?
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Do those persons who hold top positions in government have any training in human resource management? For example, the permanent secretary, deputy permanent secretary, chief education officer, those people who have to deal with those people who are going home. Mm-hmm.
Interesting question. And I know even if they don't, each department is supposed to have some human resource personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that should answer that part of the question.
Yeah, because there's some things that I agree with. I think it was Patrick mm-hmm. who spoke. Mm-hmm. Where I'm saying the decision to retrench was already made, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
In between the time the decision was made and the time that it was supposed to be actually implemented,
mm-hmm.
those persons who were in charge, who knew the names of those persons who were going home, could have called those persons individually and spoken to them, even if they didn't have the dismissal letters or the checks at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They could have called them, spoken to them, get to know, you know, about their situation, personal, home, familial, find out what they were interested in doing, and encourage them to get involved in the retooling and retraining process.
I'm glad you touched on that. Go ahead. No, let me break.
And
this
also
go ahead.
The entrepreneurship mm-hmm. at some level.
Right.
So that, if possible, they could put in a point for them if the opportunity of reemployment presented itself later on.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to have a situation where it's not a case of what we can do for our country, but we seem to be sitting back and waiting to see what our country can do for us, even though. It is not in the position to do anything for itself, furthermore, us.
Well, itself will be us. You don't think it's...
We need to get away from that and start making sacrifices for this place that has provided for us for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who are coming after us.
The sacrifices that are made at the macro level, at the national level, is hardly and ever voluntarily. I think mm-hmm. the government has to work at what it is it needs to do, and then I don't think we have a lot of choice after that. What we did, we had choice in, is to choose who are the managers who will manage the process, and we hand over to them. Now, I want to touch on something that you said, and it means a lot to me. As I would say, pack up your bags and head to the front of the class, when you talked about transitioning people. Now, the difference between what is happening now and what could have happened is that it's tantamount, you have persons and you throw them overboard into the water and mm-hmm. then tell them, listen, while them up there, so splashing, don't worry, a lifeline coming. When really and truly, we could have had, instead of a same home program, we could have had a transition program. And I understand the argument that time is against us, but we had enough time when we knew that people had to go home, that people could have been, I'm familiar somewhat with the process that happened even within this company, where people would met with the staff and so on. They alerted everybody, and then they made the choices. So people got an opportunity to put their house in order.
In order, yeah.
My thing is, you should have created those lifeboats you spoke about, entrepreneurship, the agricultural, and so on, and put people off the boat in a lifeboat. Don't mm-hmm. throw them in the water and then tell them a lifeboat coming. Because some people will drown time that lifeboat arrives. Now, the point, and I asked the question, who responds? Well, I saw numerous answers coming from my chat here. Some people said it's the permanent secretary. Some people said it's the personal administration department, some people say head of civil service. I don't know who's responsible. Whoever is responsible, I would like for you to communicate. Don't stoop to your mouth. Just communicate with us and let us understand why it is you must, why it is there's a need to call people in and say you're going home tomorrow. You're going home today. Not a letter. Tell me why that was necessary and I will keep my big mouth shut. No, I want to touch on something else because we got to be realistic too. This whole idea of entrepreneurship and this idea of land and so on, I have concerns there again. And I believe there is a way to cut through this and we can break that down if time allows. Entrepreneurship in Barbados, not an easy thing. The ease of doing business report indicates to us, and not even the ease of business report, just try it. Just look at something like a similar common sense. It tells you that things are very difficult in terms of some procedures in Barbados. So you sign up people for failure and for frustration. In terms of land, getting government land, getting license, I can tell you from experience, it is not the easiest feat in Barbados. So there are a lot of things that we're telling people, but we must prepare them. And that's one of the things I wanted to do during Barnsat Sunday on Sunday, in terms of preparing people what to look forward to. But I believe in that we should have systems in place to transition people smoothly. We may not be able to go back in time and ensure that we employ the best or the most perfect system known to man. But what we can do going forward is to ensure that those people do not go home, sit down and languish with anxiety, pain and bills to pay, but be able to transition into making, as you say, a contribution into the economy by working, by creating business, by retraining and retooling to go forward in their own lives. That is what excites me.
And not only that, I would like to know that they have some persons out there with experience who will be able to walk with them certain way.
You see, I think that was the intention of government by setting up, putting certain measures in place. And I laugh as I speak because I believe that is critical. And I'm hearing from you and I'm agreeing with you that that is critical. Some people believe it's not, that it's just send people out there and let them swim or sink, swim or drown. But no, I believe you have to have those lifeguards out there with them until they can get ashore or find themselves on the next cruise liner heading out to Barbados. I think that's the way we need to go.
If you're going to teach people to dive, you have to have somebody out there with experience in order to aid them.
When you say experience, what type of experience you're thinking about?
How do you mean?
You say you want some persons out there with experience
to help them. Persons who have experience in whatever
feel that the person is going into.
That they choose to make their domain. Some person who has experience to help walk them through.
Nice.
Not only the technical side, but the business side, the business aspect as well.
Right. Well, as I said, don't pack your thing and go straight to class. Go straight up with the Ministry of Education one time. Thank you very much, ma'am. Brad Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the saying, you're damn if you do, and you're damn if you don't?
Yes, I am.
Do you think we would ever elect a government that everyone would be happy with?
Never. Never. Even this government, it got the most seats possible. 30 love, right? And you still have to be mindful that 33,000 people did not vote for them, or actually 33,000 persons voted for someone else. And then a number of persons actually stayed at home. So I don't think you would get a case where if the registered voters stand at, let's say, 200,000, that any government, any administration, any person would get 200,000 votes.
Even if
Jesus Christ reincarnate came back to earth tomorrow, I don't think he would get all the votes. Because they got the AFS as well.
So, by answering that, you have actually more or less demonstrated to some extent that there's no perfect solution or no perfect way to really send home people. There's none. Don't care whatever government, whatever method government would come up with.
I will give you that. But would you give me the fact that there are better ways And they're excellent ways. There are professional ways. They're ways of excellence, I should say, in terms of treating to these things. Correct. They're poorer ways than others. And the thing is, I get really scared when people try to run away from this word perfection. People tell me, oh, you like a lot of utopia. Yes, even if I be the sole inhabitant and hence president of utopia, I don't mind. But I think we should always strive for excellence and strive for perfection. May not reach it, but strive for it. Don't just say, oh, it doesn't exist, so therefore we don't need to improve. There's lots of room for improvement.
Well, I agree with that, because I always tell my children, aim for the stars. Because if you, even you fall short, you still, you know, you're still
pretty high.
You're
among the clouds, yes.
Right.
Correct.
But this is what I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you had a business, you were, for argument's sake, it was a restaurant, and you were going through difficult times, and you had to lay off some of your staff. Now you might be looking at laying off the assistant cook, or you might be looking at laying off the cashier. How would you go about that?
Well, I think the first thing people look to do, and what you probably would do, is look to the law. The law would prescribe.
Or let me cut to the chase. Let me pinpoint where I want you to get.
Go.
Would you inform them? What period of time would you inform them? The morning, the evening, the same day? You would give them notice and say, "Well, okay, well, next week you'll be made redundant," and let them come in and work until that period of time.
Yes, I
or would.
I would.
You would.
Some people advise against it because they say people were victimized. But if you got a set of people working with you and you believe that they can sabotage your business, what you got them there in the first place? Yeah?
No. There's a difference. But there's a reason why a lot of companies dismiss workers at the end of the day.
Well, tell us.
What most companies
right.
do.
Some people pay in lieu of the notice.
They inform them that, listen, we are going through rough times. We have to make a cut, but they don't tell you exactly who's being cut.
Right.
You know that upon the day and most likely in the evening. If you're running a business, for argument's sake, let's say a restaurant or something, you might end up with a bad meal being served that day.
that's why you use restaurant.
If she's a cashier, you might end up with the tilt being short. Something. So to avoid anything happening, I run a business, I can tell you, and I had to release a couple of people as well.
I heard the argument, and they brought that argument already. It's just unfortunately that we got a set of monsters working for us. That's just me. I like to believe in my humanity, you know?
We're dealing with human beings, man.
Correct. Okay.
Regardless of what you're thinking.
No, what you're thinking is what you're saying. We got a bunch of mad and rabid people working for us, and if you tell them and give them notice, they will sabotage you.
I ain't going along that line at all.
They were spitting the food.
They even might do that. You never know.
You run in a restaurant? Is a restaurant is your business?
No. Okay. I'm not in food.
Okay, I feel
perishable at all.
I feel a little bit better now.
No, but I'm telling you, it is, in some circumstances, it is better to operate. I have heard, and I'm sure you have heard, a lot of executives come into work, and they're asked to leave the keys for the company car, and this is your check. In the morning, at high levels.
I know, sir.
Do you remember them? No, I know of them.
This point has been put to me so much over the last couple of weeks. It's just unfortunate for me that I put more value on people and their sensitivity and their mental and physical and psychological well-being than probably a car or a sabotage. Somebody sabotaged the spreader. Somebody jerked something spreader. It's just I put more value on human life than, because I see people breaking down, crying and saying, if I had to choose between causing a human being anguish and probably losing a spreader, I probably would go with the human more than the spreader. That might be a fault in me. Mm-hmm. But I do understand the concept from both sides. I do. I really do.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you do. But don't think for one moment, though, I am saying that there cannot be a different approach. All I am saying is we have to be realistic.
Of course. But I can tell you of people who got a month's notice.
They might have to do that. This is my point.
I can tell you of people who got a month's notice and they didn't destroy anything or hide anything or burn anything. So there are stories on both sides. Yeah?
Correct.
Good. Now, all right.
One other thing, I know you don't have much time. I realize that a lot of people are calling me about the water, or the issue with the water bill. Mm-hmm. Now I know they have they call it a tiered system or something like that. How they calculate the usage of water?
Right, different bands.
Mm-hmm. Rate schedule. I think that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Now I think that is, to some extent, really, it's discriminatory, because you're asking certain households that, for argument's sake, have two individuals, maybe just a husband and a wife, living in a household. You have that on the basic needs, basically, because that is determined by the volume of water you use, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying a small household should only pay a rate of 2.48, I think, per cubic meter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it goes up from basic to normal needs to discretionary needs to excessive uses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is my problem. Suppose it's a large household with 8 children. You are penalizing that individual by moving that rate from 2.8 to 7.78. Because you would end up falling in the excessive use. And that is one of the reasons why your water bill is so, you get this differential between households and so on. And the average is so far apart. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't just that. I mean, it could be your neighbor. You could be living inside of someone, but there might have a household of 6, and you might be just you and your wife, and your all water bill would be so far apart, you wouldn't believe it.
Right, we understand that. I think the whole thing was to encourage savings and to be as fair and equitable by paying as you use and pay as much as you use, right? It was to encourage people not to go over, because people had the basic rate, and some people would use a little and pay the basic. Some people use just under the basic and pay the same basic rate. It was to keep people within the basic rate as much as possible. But I do understand your side of it as well. As you said in the beginning, and we shall say in the end, you know, there's no perfect system. You understand? No perfect system.
All right, you have a good day. Huh?
You have a wonderful day too as well.
Bye-bye.
Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Williams.
How is it there, sir?
I am fine, thanks. Mr. Smart and not Mr. Foolish.
Well, you know that.
Yes. Maybe by the time you're smart, remember what you said years ago, it's better to be smart than to be foolish.
Foolish. Don't let anybody tell you foolish. Anybody tell you foolish, they really hurt you. Right?
Correct.
So I'm going to tell you, Richie, the other night, man, looking well.
Oh, thank you. Thank the makeup lady as well.
Well, you know that. Corey, I want to wear some red today, but I don't want to get away. If I am going down the wrong angle, just talk.
You better believe me. Right? Go ahead.
I want to be fair. I've heard some craze about the layoffs, but I want to ask you a question. You get unemployment benefit if you have an over 500 stars on your work from the NAS, right?
Mm-hmm.
The statement now is the last in, first out.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of concern. Now, I'm asking if some of these people who will be sent off will also receive what is required for them, and if they will be entitled to the what we consider the unemployment benefits until they get work again. It's not nice to have somebody be sent home. I agree with that. But I remember during the campaign, one other party told us that over 10,500 people would be laid off. And then another party told us, another individual told us, at least about 4,500 people would be laid off. And we have heard prime minister say that an average of not more than 1,500 people will be laid off. So we got some figures in between there. The last figures is 1,500 people expected or less. My position on
less than 1,500 in phase one.
In phase one, right. No. The fact of the matter is that somewhere along the line, you and I know very well that our lifestyle and a lot of the expensive things that we have been using, like I heard a caller said earlier, have got to be considered in terms of avoiding to have to spend that amount of money to carry up the foreign debt. Besides that, I'm of the opinion that somewhere along the line, when we look at the spending powers of the previous government, and we're now realizing that there is a cutback on spending on this government in terms of saving us from having to have the 10-to-1 or 14-to-1, whatever it may be, as far as the valuation is concerned. I'm expecting to hear an opposition critical of what is going on. But when you really start to put two and two together, if you go back to what was said by a former minister, and it would mean that if they had won the government, that we would be looking at 10,500 people going home. This was said that if we have 10,500 people going, so what would have happened then?
I don't think any administration would send home 10,500 people, especially not at once. The level of social dislocation, the loss of taxes, that would decimate the society and economy, as the politicians like to put it.
But do you agree with me, Mr. Lane, that we were told those figures in lead up to the general election. Mm-hmm. We were told that somewhere along the line that we had to go to the IMF regardless. Mm-hmm. Now, my argument is this, that, and I agree with what you just said, that 10,500 people saying, oh, we'll bring this country to a standstill. We bring it to a shutdown point. But here we are faced now with 1,500 people or less being faced with what I am considered to be the challenge. I call it a challenge for a better Barbados. But, you know, you must have people critical. But I do not believe that we should try to push down what has really happened in this country. And I'm going to be very frank. When one says that, that there have not been some... Well, they say should not use the word corrupt. About behavior going on some time back and some malspending and all types of things have been happening in this country. People are now telling me to bring proof. People are now telling me that you don't have no proof, so don't accuse anybody of anything. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to the present government, if you are bold enough to say these things you have discovered, I am challenging the present government to proceed in the direction that the Barbadian public will be satisfied that they have done what they expect them to do.
They said that is what they will do. That give them a little time, they're going through it like a fine-teeth comb, or with a fine-teeth comb. So at the end of the day, we will see if we have some nice hair or if we have some dandruff. But it is time for the latest from Starcom Network News. So stay with us for this edition of Brass Tacks. And we are back on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can give us a call 434-1790 or send your WhatsApp to 266-IVOB-4862, 266-4862. Now, we got about 40 minutes before we take a break for the ICAP show. But in the meantime, in between time, I want to get off some of these WhatsApps. And this one is saying, hi, my concern about the garbage and sewage contribution levy is that we were told that we would be billed on a 30-day billing cycle. Yet, every month we are being charged $46.50. If the rate is being charged at $150 a day, why are we being charged for 31 days in the month of September? So that's something someone can look into. This one says, Corey, when I worked at Waterworks, when we were being charged $1.24, every 3 months, people still didn't pay then. It's just cultural. Interesting. And this one says, good morning, or hi, Mr. Lane. I too worked for a government agency on a 7-month contract. When I was rudely insulted by the manager, he came to me in the evening shift and said, take off those headsets, log out the system, and take your belongings and go home. Corey, that still haunts me up to now. And they highlight where the place is. And I just would underscore that. You see, like, these things, for some people, is just something you say to someone, not understanding that these have long-lasting implications. Humanity, people, humanity. This one says, hello. Do you know if anyone received the road tax refund as yet? Anyone with that information, please share it with us. Hey, Corey, I agree with you. They should have people's money ready. I was speaking to someone at a department where the supervisor just told them she was glad they were going home. Appraisals should be done quarterly and not only when appointments are due. 2 points in there, but I'll let that one go. Please do not mention my name, but today is a week that I was verbally dismissed with no letter or no package. Ms. Elaine, if the Prime Minister tell Barbados that the process for layoff is last in, first out, and I have been laid off, and a person with less years than me is still working at DSD Security. Interesting. Take another one. Hello, Mr. Moderator. Almost every caller and those whom I encounter daily is saying, it's hard, but we got to do it. They have absolutely no idea how poor people will suffer. None of them are saying, I will pitch in and assist someone in need. Well, the rich will get richer and the poor will die from starvation. I just wish callers would stop thinking party and think Barbados. We don't want a devaluation, so let's get together and help the less fortunate. I am in. We take a call and come back to some of these WhatsApps. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Directly, you're on.
Hey, you're on. Hey, yes. Well, she's hello? Coming. Yeah, she says she's coming.
I'm trying to get you. There's a lady here.
Right. I heard him in the heard her in the background.
You heard she her coming. In the background. Yes.
Well, we'll give her a couple minutes to get to the lines. I'll read this time she comes. This one says, hello, please read. And there are persons with less than 10 years staying. Well, some with 10 years more are leaving the service. How come you amend some posts to get rid of some of the workers, although they have in more than 10 years, although they're not appointed? You think this is fair? Or do you think that I am the only breadwinner in the house and had to go? Give me your opinions. Well, when you write these, write them in a way we can read them. Good afternoon, Brad Stacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes. Would the opposition leader be having a party of his own?
How would you expect me to answer that? I am not in the mind of the opposition leader. Do you think he should?
Yeah, he should try and get a party going. Went switch over to whatever it may be. So I want to know if then that he's going to have a party mentioned by name.
Well, I think you should try to get in contact with him and find out. That's the only way to know. Asking me, I know.
Yeah, that's interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
No problem. Thank you, too, as well. This one says... Oh, this one is long. Let me read from here. Good morning, sir. In Barbados, there's a big hullabaloo about making typists obsolete in some government offices. Last night, I spoke to a typist at the Jefferson Hospital who told me some of their typists were terminated as their hospital, Jefferson, merged with another big hospital, Einstein, as doctors and nurses now enter most of their data, leaving little for them to do. Corey, you're telling that caller that he should call more, but maybe he called and had to hold on very long and got tired of burning up his minutes. I know how that goes. Hello, Corey. I know we can't cut salaries by law, but why raise salaries by 5% to help act as a buffer for low-income workers in government and then send home $1,500 from the bottom? We literally save no money since the 5% increase would equate close to the 1,500 job cuts from the bottom. And I did hear this coming out from Professor Michael Howard as well. And the response to this that I've seen thus far is to say, well, look, some will get the 5% as a buffer to a number of other measures being taken in the economy, but it's not only about the 5%, it is also about making sure that we meet certain targets. And the targets was to reduce the public setup, reduce the public wage bill over a period of time, and this is only phase one. So some of the other expenditure measures will have to be taken in phase two and three. And that is one of the things I continue to be concerned about, because I believe that many Barbadians are not prepared for phase two and three. I myself do not know what phase two or three looks like, but I know that we are not accustomed to austerity here in Barbados. I'll read a couple more and then we'll try to get some persons up on the line. As well, it says, people need to understand the credit card money is not your money, and credit card interest rates among some banks raised from as high as 22 to 25%. And don't forget the bank charges a late payment fee, over the limit fee, etc. I have a credit card, but I pay mine on time. This one is a notice going out saying, good morning, Dennis and Corey. Hope all is well. I'm writing on behalf of my mother, who has a water main break. And she's been without water since last Thursday. With many calls to the Barbados Water Authority and promises that it will be fixed soon, but no relief as yet. So this is our last resort. The location is Fowl Bay, St. Philip, three bus stops from the St. Martin Church, the yellow house across the road from the bus stop. Thanks, guys, in advance. So the Barbados Water Authority listening, please, please, please go and help that lady who's been out of water for so long. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. You're live on Down to Brass Stacks.
Hey, Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
As Mr. Arthur always call you.
Yes. and then he has so many other people calling me that as well.
I come as you ain't no here, ready to go. You tell the gentleman that you are, what? You only got the flour and you put in the spices and thing.
Right, you put your sugar and nutmeg, anything, he ready to go. But anyhow, yes, talk to us.
my God, got a little laugh, yeah.
It's true. When you said in this chair, you got a crack a jaw here or there, here? Or you will leave here with a headache?
Well, friend tell me that the real laugh, the happy enzyme, just correct all the stress in the brain.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what do you have for us today? What do you have for us today?
Yeah, I am thinking that if we don't change the methodology of a good set of things in this country, we'll be going wrong in circles all the time. And
for example?
Like, for example, our educational system.
Mm-hmm.
Our children, people talk about business and things. We are not brought up to really go into business. I only knew what stocks and bonds was when I was past middle age. Nobody never said anything to us about that in school, anything like that, right? I'm saying that even we have gone into the system where we call it, we buy most of our goods from outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should be doing at least 50% of our manufacturing of furniture, fixing cars, bodywork. When you buy a car, you must, now you got to take it back to the big garage you buy it from. And you shouldn't necessarily have to do that unless you want to. People should be getting work.
I think it depends on what needs to be done. I do acknowledge that cars are coming more computerized and specialized now, and certain things you have to go to the garage. But I do see, I still believe a large number of repairs, a large amount of the work is still done by some mechanics, some bodywork guys right across the country. I will link furniture and those type of repairs, because all the repairs are done here in Barbados, as far as I know, unless it's really specialized repairs you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the furniture, now that's a discussion. Now,
I was calling out things across the board that we mm-hmm. can get rotating in this country, business mm-hmm. that we can get rotating so that we can still keep our people employed.
I agree.
We are bringing in too much things, and then, but okay, next year we're going to send out 3,000+ students from school. mm-hmm. and then their parents will be home as other people get laid off. Well, what are we going to do? We need to turn over jobs in this country. We need to find ways of not bringing in everything or most things and among ourselves, find where government really.
You know, it's funny that you're saying that because throughout this whole foreign exchange crunch that we've been going through, I think there were times when the buy Bajan message was way stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that you even got to go beyond that in terms of how do we keep as much money as possible here. One of the WhatsApps that I saw, I can't pull it out to read it right now, but the guy was flagging the point that, you know, you still realize that all of the banks that we have here is foreign owned. We have a number of other large corporations here, even in the hotel industry, where a lot of the profits, a lot of the foreign exchange is stored off island. Now, from time to time, the government have put regulations in place where they ask for more and more or higher percentage to remain here in the island. But I don't think we have any great strategy, a comprehensive strategy on how do we earn foreign exchange and how do we keep foreign exchange here.
Exactly.
So I want to underscore that part of your contribution, and thank you very much, because I know we're going to move on to the ICAB in about a couple minutes or so.
Okay.
So very, very point well made.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if we have enough time, so I'll read this one because we got to do ICAB just in a few. So I'm going to say, in September, our charge for water only was $62.91. We stopped flushing for number one. October, water only charge was $35.51. So that's almost a half drop there. So for the family of two adults, one child, the total bill for October, including the sewage and garbage charge, is $80.51. So they go on to say on another point, I am one of those quote-unquote idiots with a credit card debt. How did I get here? Many reasons. Shoes and stockings and recreation. But also long-term illness and disability in the family. And most recently as October 2016, a big no from the Student Revolving Loan Fund 13 days before my child was due to depart for university. The child was crying in Broad Street. I am retired, so who is going to lend me except 13% bankster? The student has now successfully completed 4 semesters of an 8-semester program and is doing well in semester 5. So yes, my not-so-favorite bank owns me. I don't practically like it, but what were my options? Signed her name.